The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Red Sox moved on from the Tigers to the Yanks. Did they give up every game in that series?
Yes.
Or did they just... Oh, no, I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, geez.
They scored one run in three games.
Oh,
during
man.
The national anthem.
Yikes.
Oh,
this
sorry.
Sounds like the Tigers of old.
And that was at Boston?
Yeah, at Fenway.
Jeez.
I put a dagger in my heart.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well,
very,
you know,
very sorry to hear that.
We are Tigers people, except when the Tigers are playing the Red Sox.
That's right. So in a few days, he'll have to flip back and...
We will flip back,
put
yes.
the red and the blue on.
We
or
will, yeah.
the powder blue and the yellow.
And they're 8-0 when they wear the green.
Oh, well, that's like
so
Notre Dame.
The next night, we turn it on. The next night, they're wearing yellow. You win when you wear the green. Keep wearing the green, you idiots. I mean, I don't know. The front office is... I don't know.
Those are the dulcet tones of Professor Stephen Manning from the
Sorry.
Department of Red Sox fandom.
Red Sox Nation.
Red Sox Nation.
The worst of it is we have tickets to two upcoming Red Sox games. I may just scout them. We just go to the stadium.
Oh,
and
sell them to me. I'll go.
No. One of them is actually in Fenway, so we're not giving them.
We can't give that up.
Yeah.
Fenway is a beautiful place to
it
see
is.
A game. Continuing around the table, Professor Danielle Maxwell is here from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry.
Happy last Friday of the semester.
Last Friday.
Yes.
Almost Friday, as the students say. It is Friday. Yes.
It is Friday. We are there.
You had a rough lecture this afternoon.
Rough lecture, yeah.
Dead Friday.
Dead Friday. Very dead Friday.
Do tell our listeners about your attendance.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. So I have 70 students between my two sections of General Chemistry 1, and I made it very clear that we are teaching new content that will appear on their final exam next week through today. Today in class, I had 10 students in the first section and 2 students in the second section. So they really got that Detroit Mercy one-on-one professor-student ratio learning
yes.
experience today.
Wow.
About some of the hardest content covered in Gen Chem. So good luck to them as they explore standard enthalpies of formation.
Good.
Cool.
When did attending class become optional?
I guess when you don't care anymore.
Yeah.
It's called consequences.
You should base your entire final exam just on.
That's right. Oh, I like that. That'd be great.
Fantastic idea. Let's write it in for ACS exams.
I didn't know
you had this streak in you, Dan.
I don't.
Professor Jim Tubbs is here from the Department of Retired, but, you know, he hangs around.
Yes, he hangs around.
Exactly.
And yes, there's still connections. When after Josh's talk the other day, I went and looked up his grade. He had a 98 average in my class.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice.
Did very well.
I bet he attended class.
Yes, he did.
During Dead Week?
Even during Dead
Week. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That was before the dark times. How many people are attending your lectures, Professor Dave Chow?
None. Let's keep it that way.
Professor Dan Maggio is here, and I think that what Stephen was referring to is you're already like on a little snarky streak. We got to keep it going.
Yes,
we do.
Keep it going.
Keep it going.
Dan is not snarky.
Being suggestive and helpful.
Oh, we like the snarky Dan.
He was the one who remembered that we have the jar full of chocolate and probably will not last in a good way until September. So
there's a heart.
There's a what?
One has peanut butter in it.
Have a heart.
Is it still beating?
Valentine leftovers.
That's from
yes.
February.
Chocolate does not go
whatever,
bad.
I put it back at Matt's suggestion.
Did I?
You did. Suggest? You went, no.
Oh, no. I just didn't want to eat it.
Oh.
Professor Molly Barlow is here also from Department of English.
Hiya.
Thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
You are always welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I think you've missed some of our running jokes where we get to Friday and we go, your only choice is hell or super hell. Okay, you remember.
I've heard the joke. And
so where are you today?
Sure, okay.
Is there another layer possible?
Limbo is not an option.
Oh, my gosh. And, of course, Professor Mara Livesey is here, Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry.
Hello.
I saw you leave your office, go by the main office window, and you came in, you're like, I don't want to do anything anymore.
I had more grading to do, but I didn't want to, so I didn't.
Good for you. That's all I have to say about that. Good for you.
It can happen Monday. It's fine.
And this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you'll receive the brand new edition of the Ask the Professor coffee mug and the brand new autograph photograph of the profs. Mm-hmm. If you don't stump the panel, we'll probably still send you the autograph photograph. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram and listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Dear profs, on your fine show, Professor Tubbs has often asked for a series of questions about ocean liners.
Oh, no.
What?
Well, here's his request fulfilled.
All right.
10 questions with an extra credit only for Jim and your panel to solve. Regards, and of course, Viva Las Vegas, Michelle Horner.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
Nice.
Probably I'll get them all wrong.
We'll see.
No, we have
I have a strong suspicion that you're going to do pretty well. What was what was amazing about the sinking of the German-built ocean liner, the SS Deutschland, 3rd of May, 1945? What was so amazing?
We're all
about
staring
it?
At Jim.
What was so amazing about
other people can answer.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Did it sink in a funny way?
It sunk in a funny way. I don't know.
Down?
I wouldn't say it was funny.
Oh. What year?
Strange way.
1945. 3rd of May, 1945.
Okay, so that was right before the end of the war.
Very end of World War II. Mm-hmm.
Did it like flop over on the side or
was
something?
Was it occupied?
You know, it says that it actually capsized, but that's not the amazing thing.
Was there a famous passenger on it?
There may have been, but that's not specified here.
Jim, did you book a stateroom in
Deutschland?
What caused it to capsize?
No, it says here British forces capsized the boat on purpose. They attacked it.
Everybody survived.
Everybody survived.
Oh, that is unusual. Oh.
No lives lost.
Wow.
Yeah, the Wilhelm Gustloff, which was torpedoed a couple months earlier, they were trying to evacuate people from Poland to Germany, and it was sunk by a Soviet submarine, and they still don't know how many people were, because they don't know how many people were aboard. It was full of refugees.
Ooh.
Oh, my. Horrible. No lives were lost on the SS Deutschland when it capsized in early May. What was the original name of the RMS Majestic?
Oh, well, let's see. The Ballon, Michael Ballon, the...
There's a Ballon?
The Ballon 3 were the Imperator, Deutschland, and...
He's running through the files.
And I'm trying to remember which one was which, because one was ceded to the Cunard line, which was the Majestic. Was that Imperator or was that Deutschland? And then
getting close here.
Pacific Princess.
Oh, no, you said Majestic.
Yeah. RMS Majestic. What was its original name?
The RMS So-So?
The Titanic. Sorry.
No.
Pre-Royal?
It was Majestic.
I can give you this much because I think you're already there. It's an SS.
Oh, I know that. It was one of Albert Ballon's three sister ships, the Imperator, the Deutschland, and the...
And the same as the capital of a very northernmost U.S. state.
Montana. Augusta?
Minneapolis-St. Paul?
Montpelier?
Maine.
Pierre?
It says here it's the SS Bismarck.
Oh, so the Bismarck was the Bismarck was the one that became the Majestic?
Yep, that's what it says.
One of them became the Leviathan, mm-hmm. and then another one became the Homeric. I mean, no, not the Homeric.
Remember the Maine.
Yeah.
The Bismarck.
I liked it.
The Bismarck.
The Berengaria was the third one.
What were the names of the big four ships that were built by the White Star Line?
Titanic.
Gigantic.
John, Paul, George, Ringo.
Nino, not Pinto, and
The big four were before the Titanic.
Before Titanic. Oh. These are 20,000-ton ocean liners.
Baby.
Ooh, is that big?
Two Cs, a B, and an A. They stayed at the beginning of the alphabet.
Two Cs, a B, and an A.
Was the Baltic one of them?
Baltic was one of them. That's the B.
Yep.
Was Cedric one of them? Adriatic was one of them.
Cedric and Adriatic are both one. You're missing only one.
And what letter are we on?
C. A broad term that often means things that are anciently Irish.
Celtic?
Celtic.
Oh, Celtic.
The Celtic.
Celtic. Okay.
Yes. The Celtic. The Cedric. I think that's funny. That's like a dude.
Those were two stackers.
The Baltic and the Adriatic.
Cedric the Entertainer had a big
boat
named
20,000 ton ocean.
Yeah, it was on the bridge of the Adriatic that Captain Smith famously declared that he could not imagine anything causing this ship to founder. And that was before the Titanic was built.
Unbelievable. What was the colorful nickname of the RMS Coronia with a C? C-A-R-O-N-I-A.
Oh, it was the green, well, in the late 40s, it was repainted green, and it was a green, I don't know, green something.
Same as a salad Giant? Dressing.
Oh, goddess.
Green goddess. Green goddess, yes. Yeah.
The green goddess.
Pale green.
Oh, immediately nice. Knew the color.
The green goblin.
I was like, giant?
Yeah, I was saying jolly green giant.
Ho, ho, ho. The Titanic sister ship is, of course, the RMS Olympic.
Sure.
The Olympic had a great nickname. What was it?
Old Reliable.
That is exactly correct.
We'll be out in the hallway playing cribbage, man. Okay?
What question are we on now? What number?
What was the name of the camouflage used in World War I and partially in World War II on ocean liners?
Was it Dazzle?
Yeah,
Dazzle is what it says here.
Because it made it look like there were more ships lined up in a row.
Oh, that's actually really interesting.
They're great.
Large geometric shapes painted on the ships confuse the enemy as to its size, range, speed, and mm-hmm.
This is what students are going to start painting themselves with, so it looks like there are more students in Danielle's lecture.
It looks like the Gautier video, that's all.
What?
Don't give them ideas.
Where they had the paint that the
that's right.
The,
that's exactly right.
They have to do a lot of painting at this point.
Oh my gosh. The fifth ship that had been named the SS Rotterdam now serves as a floating museum and hotel in the Netherlands, was christened September 1958. Who was the person that launched and christened that ship?
Elizabeth II.
I mean, that's a good guess, but
Queen
it is
Wilhelmina?
Some other Beatrix? Queen. Not queen. Wilhelmina.
Beatrix?
Mm-mm.
Who was the Queen of the
it
Netherlands?
It was the Queen of the Netherlands.
Wait a minute, was this the lady that got Stephanie. Shipped to Canada during World War II?
Helena?
No, that she was from
oldest
Norway.
Oldest daughter's name of Professor Kendra Evans.
Autumn? It's Juliana.
Juliana, there we go.
Oh, Queen Juliana. Oh, okay.
It was her daughter, Princess Margaret, that was born in Canada during World War II, and Canadian government disclaimed her hospital rooms to Dutch soil so she could have Dutch citizenship, but not dual. Okay. It ensured her a line of succession to the throne. Interesting. Okay.
If not, she would have been a British.
Just that room.
Yeah, just that room. What was the name of the Italian ocean liner built to replace the SS Andrea Doria?
Oh, was it Cristoforo Colombo?
No, but it was named after a dude.
Leonardo da Vinci.
The Leonardo da Vinci. Yeah. One of the first ocean liners that had provisions to be converted to nuclear power.
Nuclear powers?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But the only one that was the Savannah.
Yikes. Was that the next question?
No.
Oh.
But I was expecting it to be.
I was waiting.
The Cunard lines are based out of Carnival House, Southampton, England, but their ships are registered elsewhere.
Oh, and Bermuda.
Yeah, they're registered in Hamilton Bermuda.
Which is funny because the Hamilton Harbor would not hold more than one of them.
Oh, I see.
Well, it'd be Hamilton, Ontario, so I mean.
Jim, I'm assuming this is for tax purposes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I would assume
What's
so.
The reason?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. I should move. Oh.
What is the name of the Japanese ocean liner preserved and currently moored at Nakaku, Yokohama?
Hishimoto.
I don't know. Something Maru, probably.
That is exactly correct. Right. It's the Hikawa Maru.
Hikawa
That's
Maru.
Exactly right. Oh. I'm looking at my Star Trek people, you know, Kobayashi Maru. You never know when it's going to come.
I was
handy.
Waiting for some Kill Bill reference,
I didn't make
Dan.
The connection.
I mean, at some level. Those were all the questions. We didn't get to the extra credit, though. If Professor Tubbs were to get the chance to name a new liner, what would it be and why?
Come on, Jim.
The SS Tubbs on this.
No, definitely not.
The SS Balfour.
Definitely.
Balfour.
The Balfour. Oh, that's a great name.
Just
that's
so you know, Bodie McBoatface has been taken.
That's right.
I think Britannia.
Yes.
Because that was supposed to be, if they built a sister ship to the Normandy, it was supposed to be Britannia.
And well, I love that. Let's go get the bottle of champagne.
And you like the Normandy? Is that?
Oh, the Normandy, I think, is the most beautiful liner ever built.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never looked at it.
Wonderful.
We will now.
Very Art Deco inside. Oh. Very over the top in terms of its decoration.
Like a
which cost it, actually. Cost it a lot of passengers because people assumed it was all aimed toward first class accommodation, which in fact it's second and third
this
class.
One?
Yep, that's
okay.
it. Its second and third class accommodations were really very nice too, but people just stayed away.
Oh.
They took the Queen Mary instead because they thought that was more even handed in terms of what you could expect.
Got it. Excellent. Thanks for those questions. That was great. We have another...
check off the bucket list now.
There you go.
Get your ocean liner questions.
I'm sure more will be coming.
Thank you.
A few weeks back, I was listening to the archives, and your host mentioned it'd be great to get some questions about the American Film Institute. Since I'm terrible at thinking of questions, this gave me a place to start. Attach your questions based on the AFI's top 10 movies from 10 different categories of movies. I listen to you just about every night. I think I'm on my third run through the archives. Wow. Thank you for bringing such joy and laughter. Our good friend Karen Carnes, who I don't know if we've ever received questions
from. Where is she from?
Wow.
It doesn't say. It doesn't say.
She said something on the Facebook page. I remember that.
Okay. So AFI, I'll give you the category so we have a place that we can play with. About one or two questions per the top 10 categories, top 10 movies from those categories. So category one is animation.
Okay.
What is, according to the American Film Institute, the number one movie for animation?
Snow White?
Fantasia?
It says Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, actually. Okay. The first feature of its kind.
Easy name.
1938.
Mm-hmm. How many of the top 10 movies under the category of animation are not Disney properties?
Two.
Yeah, like one.
No, four.
So does that count Pixar?
Zero.
It's zero.
Yeah.
Toy Story and Finding Nemo, produced by Pixar, distributed by Disney, therefore...
Yeah. That was a fine line, that's all.
So... Next category, romantic comedy. Everybody's favorite. Rom-com. The number one movie on the list for romantic comedy was 1931. At that time, the genre was comedy drama. Okay, it starred Charlie Chaplin, Virginia Cherryl, and Florence Lee. Chaplin was, of course, the director, writer, editor, and composer. What is the name of the movie?
City Lights?
City Lights is exactly correct.
Yes, excellent.
Molly,
very
nice.
Good.
Ruth Gordon was one of the writers on the number seven movie, Adam's Rib, which starred Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy. What's the title of the number nine in which she starred with Bud Cort and Vivian Pickles? 1971 absolute classic rock.
It was an absolute classic.
Yeah. Harold and Maude?
Harold and Maude is correct.
Harold and Maude.
That is a classic. Yeah. Vivian Pickles. That sounds a little made up if you ask me.
McMillan and wife.
Ruth Gordon?
No, that's not her. That's Nancy Walker.
Nancy Walker.
Sorry.
Am I thinking the Waltons or something like that?
No, she wasn't in the Waltons.
Who's Ruth? What else was she in?
Not much in our lifetime.
Okay, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I know you all well enough as I know you, but I'm not sure who's going to be able to help us with the next category, Westerns.
Where's Drew?
Sisters played the part of Debbie Edwards in the number one Western on the list. What was the movie?
Oh, so they were probably little kids, possibly.
That's right. It's a Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen situation.
Let's see, what's a Western with a baby? Like Rooster Cogburn or something like that?
No.
The John Wayne movie?
I mean, I don't know if it's John Wayne. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
What's a good
stage?
High Noon.
Played the part of Debbie Edwards. That's the only piece of information I got. You'll know the name of the movie even if you're not a fan of Westerns because it's a classic.
Is it an older movie or more recent?
High Noon?
No. I mean, older because Westerns. Like, what was the last Western that got made? I don't know. It's called The Searchers. I think folks are familiar with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was the number one?
That was the number one Western. Huh. Who were the sisters who played Debbie in that movie? And FYI, it was not the old baby swapperoo because they can't be under the lights. One person played Debbie at age 15, and then someone played her in her like toddler years.
Ruth Gordon.
Very famous actress. Very, very famous actress.
Initials
N.W.
Nancy Walker.
What was that?
Nancy Walker.
No.
Well, Nino, that's like a good guess.
Starts with an N. What's a female? Nancy?
Nadine.
Nicole?
Nina?
This is crazy. Natalie Wood played Debbie at age 15.
Oh my
Her younger sister, Lana, played the younger Debbie.
That's silly.
Got skunked by the Western. But we're not going to mess up the sports category.
Yes, we are.
Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci were in the cast of this Martin Scorsese, which is the number one sports
Raging
movie.
Bull.
Raging Bull. Bull, 1980. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Absolute classic.
Hard to watch.
Oh, wonderful.
Another cat. I mean, actually, who made these categories now that I think about it? Okay, mystery. Alfred Hitchcock has four movies in the mystery category top 10. This movie from 1958 is number one.
Vertigo.
Vertigo. I would have said Rear Window, but it was Vertigo. Yep.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Mm-hmm. Bonus. What are the three other Hitchcocks
North by Northwest.
In the top ten? North by Northwest, number
Rear
seven.
Window.
Rear Window is number three.
No. Psycho.
The Birds.
The Bird. No.
Oh, good call.
One of my all-time favorite movies.
Rope.
Rear Window.
No. Rope's good. Oh, they're all good, but this is my like all-time favorite.
Murder on Train, blah, blah, blah.
Let's say there was a very important set of... dang it, sewing shears involved in this movie.
Oh, it's with Grace Kelly. It's
Dial M for Murder.
Dial M for Murder.
That's a good movie.
Grace Kelly, you can't go wrong.
Absolutely. Fantasy, we're moving on. This musical from 1939 has been reimagined a number of times. A recent revisionist prequel won 12 Oscars in 2025.
Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's number one fantasy. Makes sense. Sci-fi, separate.
Ooh.
Of the top 10 movies in sci-fi, three only were filmed prior to 71. The number five movie is The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Mm-hmm.
Nine is Invasion of the Body Snatchers. The number one film was from the 60s. 1968.
Space Odyssey.
Yeah. In my mind, it's made during the 70s too. But
you can't go wrong with Strauss.
Yep. Gangster movies.
Ooh, okay.
No hints. You know what the number one is.
The Godfather.
The Godfather, 1972. Just a couple years after
2001. I was going to say, cheese.
I made him an offer he can't refuse.
Courtroom drama. Again, who makes these categories?
Do we still have those
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, it's To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah. So. I mean, obviously.
Gregory Peck starred in this 62 film. Yep, it is 62, To Kill a Mockingbird, Gregory Peck. Another category that could be lots of things, but
like
sure.
Left-handed professors or something?
Epic.
Like that?
Oh. Epic is the category. The top 10 films in this category span the years from 1930s, All Quiet on the Western Front, to 1998's Saving Private Ryan. The number one film was 1960. Think Epic.
Lawrence of Arabia, yeah.
That's it. Those are really good questions. Yeah. I kind of like the fact that we got to jump around a little bit there.
Yeah, that's good.
I wonder if those are her categories or the AFI's categories.
They're the AFI's categories. AFI. Yes.
AFI's got strange ones.
Anything that allows you to milk it a little bit more, right? So
sure, why not?
I know I'm going to regret asking this as a follow-up, but I feel like I have to. Like, when was the last time? Actually, I'll start with Mara. Have you taken Millie to a movie, like an honest-to-God movie?
Like a
to
theater?
To a movie theater.
Right.
No.
Nope, you haven't
that's
done
That's too soon.
I can't blame you.
Well, actually,
you.
That's not true. She can sit through a movie, but if we were going to a theater, it better be like Zootopia, Moana, something that she can just totally zonk out to.
Sure. So you're not going to bring her to like Project Hail Mary or anything like that?
Not
two
yet.
And a half hours of sci-fi?
Not yet.
The next Tarantino movie, right?
Yeah. It's just, I've only been to the movies on average once a year since the pandemic. And every time I go, I feel it. So I drew the short straw and took my youngest and his friends to go see the Super Mario Galaxy movie. And I'm like, yeah, this is entertaining. But when I'm there, I'm like, when was the last time I was in a movie theater? I just don't even
Project
know.
Project Hail Mary.
Project Hail Mary. Okay, that's right. That's a good point. Very good point. So Molly, what was the last movie that you saw?
So I took my son, who's 13, to go see the newest SpongeBob iteration movie, which, you know, I didn't recognize Mark Hamill because he was under that much heavy makeup.
Like, amazing. Oh,
are you sure it was makeup?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love
but
it.
But an actual adult movie, I think I have to go back to one of the Avengers movies.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, see?
I don't get out that much.
No, that's all right.
I
because
wish I
that's
did,
everybody
I
else, too.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Dan, you know it's coming your way.
I don't remember the name of the movie. Something I Want to Kick You in the Knee.
What?
It's with Rose.
Rose McGowan.
No, not McGowan.
Crud.
She's
Rose Byrne.
Struggling
Rose
with
Byrne.
I think it was a death or her daughter was having issues. Anyway, it was a difficult movie to watch because basically it was high anxiety every... Ooh. Moment of the film, and it was difficult to sit through because there was no break in the stress or the tense, the anxiety level. It was I'm sure that was intentional by the director, but it was good.
I heard the director interviewed on NPR, and they were just like gushing about how hard it was to make. And
yeah, it was tough.
That's real
tough
art,
to watch.
You know?
It was good.
Dave.
Oh, boy. This is going to sound embarrassing. I think the movie is called 60 Seconds. It's a 20-minute film that I worked on during COVID.
Oh, okay.
So they had the premiere at the Imagine.
Oh, nice.
So Royal Oak. I got to go see my movie premiere. So,
nice. Just to be absolutely clear, it's called 60 Seconds.
Yes.
It's about 20 minutes long.
Yes, 20 minutes long. And mind you, this was shot during
stretch
COVID.
Stretch that out.
They literally rented a defunct casino in Reno. Five actors, they actually all had COVID coaches and nurses with each trailer. I mean, under serious lockdown, but they shot it.
Wow.
So,
okay.
It was interesting.
Very interesting. Jim?
I'm trying to think.
Was it a talkie?
I can remember that I went to two movies over the Christmas holidays.
Oh, okay.
And one of them was the second half of Wicked.
Sure.
Yes.
And the other one was the most recent, what's the James Cameron?
Avatar?
Avatar. Yeah.
Okay.
Which
yeah.
was mm-hmm. like the second Avatar, which was like the first Avatar.
So right.
I've got my suspicions as to how 4 and 5 are going to turn out, except there will be fewer locals left after each one.
They'll be green.
As my middle son has been wont to say, now when Avatar takes his family to the water, that's not his name. Just go with it. Whatever. Everybody's named Avatar. I know that Professor Maxwell saw Project Hail Mary.
Yeah, you were sitting right next to me.
Yes,
so
also true.
Fantastic guess.
What else?
Before that was Wicked for Good.
Okay.
Yes. And then before that, I don't know, maybe like the newest Hunger Games movie?
Oh,
I haven't read the book yet. I do have all the books. I just need to read them all again. But I'm going to try to read it before November, I think, is the
another
next installment.
Coming.
Yeah,
that's right. November of what year?
Prequel?
Another prequel. It's Haymitch's Quarter
Hunger
Quill.
Games, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Another prequel.
And a middle-aged President Snow, if you were keeping track of them, but President Snow's age. Mm-hmm.
Steven.
We got stranded in Houston for
Dallas.
2 days.
Oh.
Dallas? Yeah, Dallas-Fort Worth on our way back from Mexico.
That's right.
So we went to see one battle after another.
Okay.
At a mall, a megaplex thing.
Yeah.
In the mall
and
in,
enjoyed it quite a
Houston.
Bit.
Yes.
And that was Film of the Year. Last,
yes.
Won the Academy Award.
Very cool.
And interestingly, we got back to the, we took an Uber there. We came back to the hotel. It was not right at the airport, a little bit 12, 13 miles away. You got back there and getting ready for bed, just turn the TV on to find some sport thing, and I'm flipping through channels, and it's on TV. It was already on Netflix. We'd just seen this.
Yeah, that's great, though. It's good to see it on the big screen.
No, that's good. Yeah. I mean, it's fun.
I would like to see it again, but not on TV in a hotel room.
There's something to be said for seeing it on the big screen.
Just after having seen it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, that is perfectly timed for the end of our show. So the time has come to say goodbye, Mara.
Goodbye.
Molly.
Bye now.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Danielle.
2 years down.
Steven.
Goodbye.
And Heather.
Bye-bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.